2005 college training in Montreal, Canada, with Brother Titus Chu. David, the man after God's heart. Message 2.
Now, we come to message 2. We still have time, huh? A woman in purity, a child in simplicity, and a man in religion. Together, to what? Bring a man who was after God's heart. This morning we said, remember, that was a dark age. It was so dark, the judges failed. The priests failed. The prophets failed. The word of God becomes scarce. And there's not many. The visions from the Lord do not pass far away. In other words, there are very little declaration of our commitment, of the visions we have. The whole thing was messy. Then concerning their moral life, concerning their daily life, the kill brothers, the brothers kill their brothers, and then they make up in very immoral ways. They do everything without God. So eventually, the Lord, as the Lord would say, did you mess it up enough? Sometimes you have to learn to appreciate the end of Judges. Because that is where seems God says, 450 years, isn't that enough? That may be enough now. If enough, let me tell you, I will do something to change the age. How would I do it? He says, number one, I will gain a woman. Do you realize, young sisters? Tell you good news. All the revival begins with sisters. Then tell you the bad news. All the problem in the church life began with sisters. So you handle it. You handle the right, you will be blessing. You don't handle it right, I feel sorry for you. But anyway, firstly, the Lord gained a sister. And the way he gained her is very common. In other words, she's a common sister. Not at all unusual. Her name's Hannah. In other words, favored. We're just like all the sisters. Sisters in principle are favored. Sisters in principle are gracious. Am I right? See, his name matches a typical sister. And God did something. God will not allow her to have a child. You just think about it. How many thousands of housewives married cannot have a child? This is nothing unusual, right? But for some reason, here's one. She has a kind of spiritual understanding. She realized, this is something forcing me to pray. Something forced me to go to the Lord's presence. Something forced me to touch the Lord, even to make a deal with the Lord. Therefore, what? She was before the Lord. Here, number one, she experienced the hand of the Lord. She was buried. Brother, treasure everything. Now you all want to go preach gospel, right? I tell you, the most blessed are those who preach gospel, nobody saved. Preach gospel, nobody saved. Preach gospel again, nobody saved. That's called the barren. Then what? Then you go to the Lord and pray. Lord, if I will get somebody saved, if I can help someone love you, Lord Jesus, I will put myself in the temple serving you all my life. Do you get my point or not? Now, she's a spiritual woman. She, instead of complaining, then also consider a way of adopting. You know, I tell the husband, you know, I don't have any son. My rivaler? The computer? Rival. My rival got a lot. Get one over to my side. That's it. I adopt one. So I have son also. No, she didn't. She didn't play anything with human hand. She went to the Lord. So she, point B, she responded with bitterness in heart. She was so sorrowful. I'm praying to the Lord and weep much. Do you see the picture? If you read 1 Samuel, right, in the beginning, he began to tell the story. She was weeping, crying, to the point the prophet, Levi, or the priest, Levi. You consider she got, Eli. Well, consider she got drunk and tell her, you shouldn't drink that much. Look, how come you get drunk? You can see sometimes you were really suffering something from the Lord, and the elder tell me, why you mess it up? I got this. Sometimes I really go through something from the Lord. I know it's from the Lord. I was praying desperately. And then the elder say something. And then you just had the feeling, well, Lord Jesus, how unclear his eyesight was. He doesn't see spiritual things. The priest, Eli, wouldn't even understand why. So she said, you shouldn't drink. She said, no, I didn't drink. Then she made a vow. She said, Lord, that if you would give me a child, I will, from the first day, bring her from the first availability, day available. In other words, when she break her nursing time, I will take him to the temple. I will ask him to stay here and serve you all his life. I made one vow, which is very strong. No razor will come upon his head. In other words, he would always keep whatever that is from the Lord. He would keep it and keep it before the Lord. You know, brother, can you all turn to Samuel chapter 1? It is a lovely story, huh? Samuel chapter 1. Chapter 1, I think maybe we don't need too much. Huh? Let's see, the verse 11, right? Verse 11, and she vowed a vow. She made a vow and said, chapter 1, verse 11, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. This is really a strong commitment. From now on, he belongs only to you. I will give unto him all the days of his life, and there shall be no razor upon his head. And come to pass, and she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. She was, what she's doing that well? You know, she was praying, right? She said, what are you doing? So Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drinking. And Eli said unto her, how long will thou be drinking? Think about it. An elder. Actually, he's much bigger than an elder, right? He is the one as a judge, as a chief priest. Right, he takes the lead of the whole country, and he got so messed up. He asked him, "How long will thou be drinking? Pull away thy wine from thee. Don't drink anymore." Could you believe in that? You were praying so hard. People said, "How come you listen to this music, brother?" Sometimes you don't know if you should laugh or cry. But anyway. Church life is very interesting. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I like it. Brother, you want to be a man after God's heart? In your life, you must have once or many times a sorrowful spirit. In other words, you look at your situation, I'm sorrowful. You look at church situation, I'm sorrowful. You look at the brothers and sisters, I'm sorrowful. You look at the Lord's testimony, I'm sorrowful. Here, this sister become healthy. She said, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I poured out my soul before the Lord. I'm praying desperately. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of what, Belier, but out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken. hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, could you believe a spiritual man? He's still a spiritual man. He's just a faded spiritual man. Do you understand faded spiritual man? Just like I would tell you, brother, when I was young, I was fine. And you look at my face, you know I'm fine, right? Or you know I was fine, right? But you should say, you were fine. But you are now a faded fine man. Do you get my point there? You are declining. Oh, I say that. I know some people, oh, Titus, don't talk about yourself like that. Brother, it's not a matter I talk or not. It's a fact. They catch you. Do you get my point or not? How much I like to say, don't think I'm 69. I'm not just as strong as 29. Then you say, come on. Oh, brother, let's wrestle a little. You can pretend, but it's not yours. But, you know, even though he faded, Eli faded, a faded spiritual man. But the spiritual understanding was still with him. Just like you're 18, right? I ask you, do you have a hidden person? You know what do I say? That means where I was 18, I have a hidden person. Who was he? I don't remember. I just remember when we all were 18, our classes together, that's all what we talk without the Lord. This is kind of stupid thing. At that time, all the boys are in their class, even the whole school were all boys without girls, so we don't even know what are girls. But anyway, oh, today the ones who say, well, I met a beautiful girl on the bus, another, oh, I see another one in the train. All dreams. So, I'm old now, but I know, young man, don't try to cheat me. I know where you are. I know where you are. Then, with my niceness, I speak out where you are for you. Because I'm such a gentleman. Am I right? Okay, so here, Eli's interesting. Eli was just messed up. You know, he should have said, what? Oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I misunderstood you. Shouldn't he? I think Hannah should. What are you talking about? I'm drunk. I'm praying. I demand apology. No, he was nice. I like Hannah. Hannah was such a spiritual sister. She said, oh, no. I didn't drink. I just so bitter. I have a sorrowful spirit. I pray because I don't have a son and so forth. Then, verse 17. Then Eli answered and said, I like this part. Go in peace. And the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. You know, I don't think he speak out what he prayed. He didn't speak out. That's between God and him. He prayed for a son. He didn't speak out. But Eli first said, oh, you are drunk. They said, no, I didn't get drunk. I have a sorrowful spirit. I pray drastically. Then Eli turned out to be so spiritual. And his word was so good. Go in peace. And the God of Israel grant thee that petition that thou hast asked of him. And verse 18, and she said, like thine handmaid, find grace in thy sight. So the woman went, that's her answer. Then the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. I can't believe it. Don't you like this portion? My first question is, hey, Eli, wait a minute. Who can trust what you say? You don't even know I'm drunk or I'm praying. And here you told me God has promised me. What are you talking about? How can I trust you? Don't you young people like this or not? Young people like Titus, I know you're wise. Brother, don't say I'm foolish. I am wise. I know you're wise. And I know you've been through a lot. I know you understand things. But, Titus, you just don't understand us. I said, no. I was a young man too. What different? Different age. At that time, you don't have internet, which is true. You don't have computer, which is also true. You don't have this and that, which is everything is true. You don't even have the music. Yeah, blah, 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 which is also true. We don't have any of the stuff. But I tell you all, I appreciate Hannah, and I want you to learn from her. You know, an elder may misunderstand you. An elder may even speak nonsense to you. When you are praying so hard, he says, why you are crying for something? One day, the brother asked me something. I was already so sorrow. When he asked about it, my tear come out. You know what he said? Don't cry! Don't cry! And I quickly take my tear back. I was just basically trembling. Lord Jesus, now I lost Christ and I lost the elder. Do you get my point now? I'm in trouble with everything. But brother, that time I learned one lesson. Whether he's right, whether he's wrong, he is a brother. Take care of me. I must learn to trust in him according to Christ. You see, Eli didn't even tell her what to do. Eli didn't say, oh, you know, no, what is really your problem? Could you let me know? Then she was, I'm barren. Oh, you don't have a son? Oh, I don't know. Eli didn't ask. Eli just said, oh, sorry. I thought you were drunk. And you are not drunk. You have a sorrowful spirit. You pray desperately. May the Lord have grace upon you. That's it. And because of this, and her answer was, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. Then Hannah become happy. I really like it. Brother, I hope you can learn the lesson. Young brother, your elder, your leading one, is going to misunderstand you a lot. Don't fight. See,
what kind of music you have in that mountaintop?
You say, wow, this is young people's music.
What kind of young people music is that music?
some young brother wrote some nice song. We sing, we enjoyed it together.
What kind of enjoyment is that?
No, something from, brother, I tell you, it's really good. We really enjoyed it.
Is that soulish? Do you have Christ in that?
You should ask back, right? Do you have Christ in your funny voice? But listen. Huh? The moment you say, do you have Christ in that funny moment, your grace is gone. Look how good is Hannah. He was so misunderstood. So when people said, you shouldn't have that voice, you shouldn't have that music, never argue. I never argue. I said, I don't know what's going on, but I trust these young people. And I see how they change after all these meetings. And I'm more than thankful to the Lord for that change Lord has given. Amen. That's good enough. But that's for me because I'm older brother. For you young people, you say, yes. May I find grace in your sight. Amen. When the brother says, what kind of music? May I find grace in your sight? I don't like that. May I find grace in your sight? Oh, shouldn't you should never. May I find grace in your sight? Oh, you are more than terrible. May I find grace yourself in your sight? Oh, don't look down at find grace in your sight. That's the secret of the church life. You try to argue. The more you argue, the more you get into trouble. What kind of music? Many Christians are singing that music. Why we can't do it? Even Africa, they sing this kind of music. Do you know that? You see, brother, eventually the brother gets more upset. Then eventually the brother will take a stand. I'm going to go against you. You're going to suffer more. Look at Hannah and look at Eli. We all know Eli is terrible. He was really terrible. Right? When a sister was praying so hard because of a sorrowful spirit, he would say, you drunk. But right after he understood, the sister was praying before God. He was so moved. He said, may grace come to you. Then she was so nice. Respond quickly. May grace, may your handmaid find grace in your sight. May you have grace upon me too. Right after that, surprising her trust. I know Jehovah answered my prayer. Oh, I like it. Didn't you like it? Had you ever considered a young brother, a young sister can serve in this way? Here I come to you. Where are you from? Troy. Detroit. Are you Howie's daughter? Oh, okay, okay. Okay, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Huh? So, maybe, so ask you, it won't happen to you. I was ask you. What kind of music do you have in your mountain top or white night? What kind of music do you have? I say, wow, oh, we have beautiful music. And Jose was jumping. Isn't that way he leads? Because I watched once, I saw the, I admire him because for me to do it, I'm just, my belly is too big, my purse is too heavy, he's still young. what's good, what's so good. Where do you put that instrument? You have a band, right, I heard. Do you have a band? Do you still have a band this time? Oh, Lord Jesus, you still have a band. Where do you put the band? Why not in the front? We used to be in the front, isn't it? Who is the center? The band. What? The band is the center? Brother, I don't like it. Tell you honestly. The only thing bother you with all the top and nights is that the band is the center. Christ got to be the center. Living person got to be the center. Do you get my point? So that if you put the band on the side, praise the Lord. But brother, when I tell you, sister, where do you put the band? Why should you have a band like that? And you should have a Christian conscience. Walk out right out of the meeting to show your protest and loyalty to God. Brother, sister, how would you answer, sister? You should say, May your sister find mercy, find grace in your sight. You do not know how powerful is that fellowship. You like to argue, right? Who's right? Who's wrong? Why shouldn't we do it? Why can't we do it? We must do it. And the Lord has shown us. We got to look at our fruit. Our fruit proved. And look. And brother, you can do all this. The more you do it, the more he's upset. But if you know how to be so sweet, young brother, if you know the answer, well, may we young people find grace in your sight. All of a sudden, there's something so sweet happened because everyone's for the Lord. Everyone loves the Lord. No one has the intention to abuse anybody. Do you get my point or not? Everyone just sees things differently. Now, here, the biggest difference in this story is that Eli saw a prayer and thinking she's a drunkard. Where he thinks she's a drunkard. She answered, no, I just have a sorrowful spirit. Yet with a sorrowful spirit, Eli's answer was so gracious. So gracious. The way he said it's what? Hot. Go in peace. Go in peace. Why? And the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And her answer was so good. So good. What? And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in your sight. Now right after that, she dropped all the sorrowfulness. She know God is giving him a son. It become real. So he got the son. He got that's Samuel, right? That's interesting. So now we come to second story. Samuel the child, a child, right? Samuel the child. What Samuel mean? Sam. Your name is Sam. Sam. Oh, I thought I messed up now. Sam. What does Samuel mean?
Heard of God.
Yeah. Asked for of God. I heard of God. In other words, Samuel come by prayer. So the name of the meaning is heard of God or asked for of God. Then, number one, you know, when he was very little, it was interesting. he wear a linen ephod since his childhood as a priest according to Nazarite's vow. He's not a Levite. He's not qualified to put on ephod. But in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 18. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 18, right? But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. In other words, he was dressed up like a priest. Why? It's according to a Nazarite vow. Nazarite vow means no razor, no shave. So he doesn't shave his hair all his life. Therefore, he was before the Lord as a priest. So he was very young. But remember that, huh? Your operation is decided by the way you dress yourself. Do you get it or not? You say, "Wow, that's not this age," which is right, huh? It's not physical, it's spiritual or psychological. How are you dressing yourself up? Not what you dress now is what everybody can see. Can you dress? You should take care of the dress yourself. How to dress yourself? Where people do not see. I am a servant of the Lord. I may put a colored clothes. I may put something that is modern or something that's leisure or relaxed. But whatever that is, let me tell you all, my dress is testifying that I am a servant of the Lord. Put on the linen ephod. The day you put on ephod is the day you serve the Lord. It's the day. I don't know how would I say it. Huh? The day you put on something and you take it off all the time, that means you're only participating in some of the things in the church life. It's very different in this and the one who serves the Lord. God desires us to serve him. So what? So Samuel was young, he wearing a linen ephod since his childhood. As a priest, then as a child, ministering to the Lord before Eli, whose eyes began to wax dim. It's harder now. As a child, I want to serve. It's easy, right? As a child, I want to serve under someone who is not clear at all. Do you get it or not? Now he served, right? He ministered to the Lord before Eli. In other words, he was under Eli's covering. Then who is this Eli? His eyes began to wax dim. He's not clear now. What he sees is no longer clear. Brother, in the local church life, what you are afraid the most is the elders' eyesight are waxed, waxed dim. They don't see things. You realize drastic things could happen. The elder don't see. You realize moving of the spirits here. The elders don't see because their eye were not clear. Then, okay, if you are friend church, okay, that's you. That's still fine. But if you serve under them, that's a lot to learn. One day I was serving in one local church. For some reason I realized that I can smell cigarette. I just said, what's going on? Then I found out that the elder smoke. And when elder smoke was caught by somebody, it was really some experience. But anyway, then I found the elder smoke. At that time, my first thought was, my heartbreak. How can the elder smoke? Actually, later I found out elder is a human being too. If without Lord's mercy, they're just as weak. But anyway, at that time, my thought as a young man, elder must be so spiritual because they are elder. Think about it. Now he smoke. Brother, let me say this to you. You got to learn. When you begin to serve, you want to be a person after God's heart. You have to learn in the church life many things you don't see. Do you get my point or not? Many things you cannot afford to see. One day, I went to see my, maybe I finished that elder smoke. No. I tell you, I was drastic. Then when young sons, I was leading the young people. When young people come to me, he said, "Brother, I can't handle it." I said, "What happened?" "I saw the elder smoke. And while he was smoking, I walk over, and he tried always to hide that cigarette. And whatever he does, he can't hide it." Then, Titus, what should we do? "What should I do?" My first thought is, "Get rid of him. Let's raise. No, brother, we're over. By Lord's mercy, I said, "Let's pray." We I don't even say pray for the elders, because then you accuse elders. You know what I mean? "Lord, the elder smoke. Lord, cause him not to smoke." Aren't you condemning him? You say, "Lord, you have to pray. Lord, have mercy upon us so that we do not see anything. We only see you." Isn't that good? "Lord, we don't want to see any weakness. We don't see any problem. We know there will be tons of them, but we want to see Christ. Where everything's smooth, we want to see Christ. Everything's hard, we want to see Christ. Encouraging things, we want to see Christ. Discouraging things, we want to see Christ." Eventually, brother, few weeks later, the elder was giving the message. All of a sudden, he says, "Do you know how powerful was a 3-inch cigarette?" I was sitting there. I said, "Of course I know how powerful you are smoking." Then at the same time, I prayed. That was real. I prayed, "Lord, thank you for the elder. Smoking is over." That was over. When he shared that day, it was over. Because we prayed. Yet, in our prayer, we didn't even mention his smoking. We mentioned that, "Lord, we should see you." Do you get my point or not? Oh, I tell you, brother, we surely need Lord's mercy. Many times in the church life, many times in the work, we found that, "Oh, the whole thing was so messy." Brother, when you tell me, "Oh, Titus, how come it's so messy?" You know what is my answer? My answer is, "Well, aren't you blessed? You haven't seen the whole thing yet. If you see the whole thing, you will be surprised how messy whatever the church life, whatever that is, I don't even know how to say it now, can be." But remember one thing. All the situations there is for you to learn. Do you get my point or not? You would go to Case. Am I right? Praise the Lord. You will work with Rex. And I can tell you, he's my son-in-law. You know that, right? And he's the most sweet brother on the globe. Because he doesn't even lose temper. Yeah, so nice. Then you are going to be with Guy. Am I right, brother? You're with Guy, right? Praise the Lord. Guy is sweet. And you're going to be with Sam. Am I right? And praise the Lord. Sam's going to be very firm. And you're going to be with Jiang. Right? Jiang? Jiang Neil, right? You're going to be with Jiang. Then, brother, praise the Lord. Jiang can be a good big brother. Brother, but eventually realize one thing, though. Oh, you have never allowed the church life to be perfect so that we have to come to you more. Do you understand what I say? Sometimes people tell me, "Brother Titus, we like to be trained by you." I said, "Brother, do you know I trained hundreds of people, and most do not love me anymore. You still want to be trained by me?" "Yes. We see so-and-so today so used, trained by you. So-and-so today so useful, trained by you. So-and-so today so useful, trained by you. You have the gift of perfecting." This is not my word. Actually, Brother Lee said this, "Titus, your portion is to perfect the people." Well, brother, I usually like to answer, "You know why you want to train by me? Because you don't know who am I." Oh, when I work with a brother, that brother needs a lot of grace to take it. Brother Bagel, Am I right? Amen. Oh, whosoever works Titus, no. Oh, Titus, work with you need grace. But remember this. When you can go beyond this, step three comes. Right? Step one is, he wearing the learning grid, I give myself to the Lord. Step two is, I'm under brother, and he's not clear at all. Then step three, he hearing the calling of the Lord four times at night, right? Their word, Samuel. Then he thought, Eli asked me, so he went to Eli. The second time, Samuel, he went to Eli. Third time, Samuel, he went to Eli, because nobody talked to him, only Eli. So three times. The fourth time, I love Eli, even though he's not clear at all. Oh, Eli become clear, says, next time you just answer, oh Lord, I'm here. See what he wants to speak to you. I didn't call you. The Lord is speaking to you. Oh, don't you like such an unclear senior brother? In everything unclear, in crucial time, is more than clear. He could consider you are drunk when you are serving the Lord, praying so hard. But when he bless you, it's real. And when he was leading you over you and not clear at all with anything, but in the crucial time, he has enough experience to tell you, now this is from the Lord. Don't you appreciate that? Now, he said, in the fourth time, I'm receiving the first prophecy concerning the household of Eli. Because Eli has two sons. And for some reason, you realize his two sons do not behave. Number one, they always take advantage of the things offered to God, especially the meat. They just use something, get it, and take it away. If you tell him not to, they will say, it's done already. And more than that, he practiced immorality right in the tabernacle, these two sons. And Eli know all this and can do a thing. Do you get my point or not? I tell you, many times, so many parents want their second generation love to Lord. For that, I really appreciate, because many of you are second generations. But remember that, especially if your parents are elders, Brother He. What's your name? Do you have a brother? Younger or older? So how old are you now? You're 26, 27, 24. Still that young. One more year, you can get married. Praise the Lord for that. Wow, you are, I really appreciate you. Sorry, I thought you were younger, so I couldn't figure out. Joe, you know that? You are a dad. Your dad is an elder. Because your dad is elder, it's too easy for you, even unconsciously, begin to show something. Do you get my point or not? Very hard. It's a hard learning for the great servant of the Lord, the operating serving ones, their second generation, that know how to behave. Eli has problems. If we can read that, can we turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3? Verses 4 through 14, I read to you. That the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here I am. And he ran to Eli. It's interesting, right? Lord says, Samuel, he says, here I am. He went to another person. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am, for thou callest me. And he said, I call not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down, and the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for thou did call me. And he answered, I call not, my son, lie down again. And now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. He was just a good learner in the church life. But remember the prophet, the process. Two things. Number one, I give myself to the Lord. I have a learning ephod. Number two, I go through whatever the leadership. No murmur, no complaint. I want to be faithfully following the Lord by submitting myself to the older ones. Then, now, verse 8, and the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he rose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for thou did call me. And Eli perceived. I really like this. Do you think he's blind? He's not clear at all? He's not clear, but he's clearer than most of us. We are very clear, therefore nothing is clear with us. He's not clear. But when the calling 1, 2, 3 times comes, Eli perceived. Eli perceived that the Lord has called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go, lie down, and shall be. If he call you, you should tell him, speak to Eli, don't bother me. Did he say that? Could you read it? Let's read verse 9. Huh? Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be. If he, that means Jehovah, if he call thee, that you should say, don't bother me, speak to Eli, because he's still there. Well, brother, if Eli is not pure, Eli will for sure say that. You have to appreciate this old prophet. By all means, he should say, oh, Samuel, no, you get all messed up tonight. I give you some tranquilizer so you can sleep well in peace. Then he will pray, God, please speak to me and not to him. I mean, if you speak to him, where is my face? Where should I be? I mean, I'm the judge. I'm the priest. Lord Jesus, you better do something different. I mean, you are violating the principle. You bypass elders, speak to a young saint. What thing is this? But, oh, he's such a spiritual man. You have to appreciate that. And he said, if he call you again, you shall say, speak, Lord, for thy servant hears. I'm your servant, I hear you. So Samuel went and lay down in the place, and the Lord came and stood and called. This too, that is hard to understand. Looked like the Lord physically was there. The Lord called, stood, and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant hears. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, Eli was such a good man. He refer you to me. Therefore, I will forgive him on everything. No. It was hard. This part was so hard. Huh? Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I also make an end, for I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows. You know your son is in trouble, and you cannot do anything about it. But, brother, I'm a father. Let me tell you, I know it's hard. It's hardest to work with your son. It's easier to work with other son. This is why our Chinese have a saying, if you want to teach your son, you have to change your son. You understand what I mean? I teach your son, you teach my son. Because you know how to hit, I know how to hit. There's not enough love. When you teach your own son, usually you fail. So, but God has no mercy. Was very strong. Therefore, I have sworn to the house of Eli that iniquities Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. Even you sacrifice, even you offer, no. And Samuel lay until the morning, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. He just dared not to tell Eli. Eli, God said, your house is gone. You know what I mean? And even you repent, it doesn't work anymore. You know, it's just impossible. Samuel dare not. Verse 16. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here I am. And said, what is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. Eli was very clear now. He knows the answer. He knows what the Lord has said. But he wanted to confirm it. That's why he said, don't hide from me. You know what I mean? Oh, you have to appreciate. A man may be wax dim, in other words, not clear, but he can still be very spiritual. Here's a real spiritual man. No way, no finding of anyone, no hide. For instance, he knows already what the Lord spoken to Samuel, because he understands. If it's not really to him, God will just tell him. God go to Samuel, got to be something really to him. Do you get my point? Therefore, he was so clear, then he told him, don't hide it. Don't hide away things from me of all the things that he says unto thee. And Samuel taught him every whit and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems him good. Oh, what a spiritual statement. Do you get my point? I failed. I failed to discipline my son. However, whatever God desires, may his will be done. Are you okay? Are you, brother, okay? Are you? Are you okay, young sister? I just afraid because all of a sudden I think about it. I'm teaching a young group of people how to be kings. It doesn't, you know, it's just different with rules, right? Because it really fits you. And all of a sudden you find out the whole thing is struggling. And then Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be the prophet of the Lord. Now you come to the outline, right? The Lord being with him as he grew, letting none of his words fell to the ground. In other words, even when he was young, whatever he says become real. He was manifest as a prophet and established the ministry of the prophet. In other words, before Samuel, God has used different people to speak on occasions, on particular time. But here, God has gained a person. This person, whatever he says is real. It's not fall on the ground. Whatever he says become true. So he will establish the ministry of the prophet. Now, God has used a sister. Now God has used a young man, and the young man grow. So God says, now I finally get the ball right close by the gate. I have to have the last kick to gain the points. Do you get it or not? Football. Now, soccer, right? Now all the people running after the ball, God bring the ball through this one, through that one, to the gate. God says, let's get a religious man. Let him get the last kick. Through this kick, the man after God's heart will come into being. Aren't you surprised? Two are so marvelous. One become quite religious. So now we come up. Huh? Oh, sorry, point E. Point E of Roman numeral 2. Can we read it together so we don't go to sleep? Therefore, he operated as a priest, a prophet, and a judge. And Samuel
judged Israel all the days of his life.
Right? When he was with Ephah, learning Ephah, he became a priest. When God spoke to him, and whatever he says become real, he become a prophet. Then he judges. He become the judge, or he judged Israel all the days of his life. He become a judge. Three things all together with him. Then we come to the last kick, Saul. He's the one bring in David. Saul means what? Asked for, desired, lent, and ditched. It's interesting. Remember Samuel. Samuel means what? Asked for of God. In other words, something from God asked for. Saul means just asked for. Not necessarily from God, but whatever you ask for, there's a favor there. Then, what? Desired. So with this man, you can see a strong desire for whatever that is in his heart, to accomplish it, to make it, eventually land. The things are temporary. Eventually it's a ditch. He become a frustration. Yet a real pathway. Do you understand the ditch or not? Ditch usually forbids you to walk through easy. Do you get my? Because it's a ditch. But because of the ditch, when you go over it, there's a different sensation. Do you get my point or not? For instance, there's a 20-yard ditch. You walk 20 yards on the plain road, right? Nothing. Because every day you walk numerous 20 yards. But if there's a ditch of 20 yards you have to go through, then you make an effort, right? You build something. You either go down or go up. After you finally go over it, you say, hey, we made it. Which one you like? Yeah, man, that's good. I like ditch too. My life is, all my life are ditches. And Saul is a ditch. He frustrates, yet he makes it so colorful. Because of him, God's work will become much more beautiful. You know. Okay, now let's come. Point one. How did Paul saw coming to the kingship? Coming to kingship by the... Are you okay? Yeah. Your brother okay, huh? How come I don't hear amen or whatever? I know some. I feel something's wrong. Am I too lonely here or not? Oh, okay. Now we have to make it louder. Then hear the boom, boom. Can we turn the bass something, make the bass not so strong? Coming into kingship by the coming to kingship by the request of the elders of Israel, even though it was unpleasant to the Lord. The elders come together. Just say, we can't go on like this. I can't blame the elders. You know why? Because listen, look, when they will have these seven judges, what kind of life they have. And that's for 450 years. In other words, the seven judges' time together, maybe just 100-some years, so 300 years without judges. Do you get my point? So you have such a long time, and all the Israelites struggling, fighting, chase around, and no one knows who is the lead, the whole thing's a mess. So eventually the elders gather together themselves. And come to Samuel, say, make us a king to judge us like all the nations. We need a king. Let me ask you, young brother, why God do not like king? Why God even do not give them a good judge all the time? Oh, if you can answer it right, you are spiritual. If you cannot answer it right, that's healthy, normal. Why? Ask Brother Ho, ask the brother sit by you. Why?
God is jealous. And even in these situations, the specific ones are manifested in the situation.
Yeah, that's a good answer. It's kind of, God is jealous. Or you can say in this way, because God like you to go to him alone. You know, we are funny people. We are just like a child in a family. As long as our father is okay, we feel sheltered, peaceful. Whether your father work good or bad or whatever, as long as the household is peaceful, as long as your shelter is there, your food is there, your spare money is there, your education is there, you're satisfied. And God knows this is what the king is doing. God desires to give you all kind of problems. Because you know what? Every time problems comes, you pray much more. So God says, okay, after Joshua, there should be judges. Then to our side of us, judge one, a judge two, continue, judge one, judge three, continue, judge two. And all the judges are so much before God, they all do something so marvelous, so Israelites will be fine. No, God raised up judges, and God even considered them as judges, yet they are pretty messy. Why? God liked to see all the Israelites come to him and rely on him. Today, the Lord is the same. You know what's the problem with us? We want to lay hold of anything as long as it is not Christ alone. You know, you understand what I mean? Oh, yes, I'm accepted. I'm accepted by Dallas Cemetery. And I'm going to study theology. Brother, why Dallas Cemetery make you so happy? Seminary. Whatever. Whatever. Because once you go there, you have a peace. Now, I enroll myself into what? I get myself into what? Oh, I'm doing something. You know, God's way is this. I like you to know nothing, to trust nothing, to rely on nothing, but on me alone. I want you, I like you to pray to me. I like you to talk to me. I like you to present everything to me. I like you to give everything to me. I like you to only have me. And yet we will say, no, 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 no. We like to have a king. Do you get my points or not? Oh, brother, remember that, huh? So all the Israelites come together, they want the king. And then what? Israel was, the Samuel was very bothered. He talked this to God. And the Lord said to Samuel, the Lord said in Israel, for they have not rejected thee. Don't think they reject you, Samuel. But they have rejected me. I want to be with them. I love to be with them. I like to be there with them. I want to be their Lord. I want to take care of them all the time. I want to take care of them on everything. But they don't want to come to me. They want to have a king. So God says, I will give them a king. But when I give them the king, I will still be the king of the king. Do you get it or not? In other words, if you do not have the ability to relate to me, okay, you relate yourself to the king. But I hope the king can relate to me. Do you get my point or not? So I will give you a king, but I will be the king of the king. Okay, now you come to the problem now. Now, who is this Saul, his status? By family, his father was a mighty man of power. Just think about it. I'm from a general's family. Do you get my point or not? If I'm from a general's family, that means this family is mighty. Then by birth, being a choice, how do you read this word? Choice, right? Choice child and a goodly. In other words, people look at him, they will select him. He's marvelous. Do you get my point, Sam? Are you a choice child? I tell you this. I have 8 brothers. I'm number 8 brothers and sisters. 2 sisters, 6 brothers. I'm number 3. When my mother conceived my oldest brother, she got a dream. She dreamed a dragon. So she always feel my older brother will be an emperor. My second brother was born, was very bright since his childhood. So my father took him to the fortune teller. At that time was all the warlord. Warlord. So the fortune teller tell my dad, you have this son, you got everything. Don't worry about it. Your son, that means second brother, your son will be the commander of a number of provinces of China. Wow, so my father and mother live in dreams about my first brother, he will be an emperor. A second brother, he will be a commander of some provinces. So nobody even looked at me. So my mother gave me a nickname. It's an interesting nickname. Even today, I couldn't tell you. In other words, it's not retarded. It's not stupid. It's just, I don't know how to say that. Actually, I don't even know how to say that in Chinese. It's in our dialects, I understand it means just unpleasant or something. So I got a name. And if someone comment me on me, my mother would be bothered. If someone comment, oh, this son is good, my mother, what? You don't see my 2 sons? You see him right in my presence. So I fully understand what is choice and goodly. Because I'm not. In other words, when he was a little child, wherever he walked, people, oh, he's the future, he's the future. Do you get my point? Even when he was a young man, people look at him, no, this man will be great someday. He's choice and goodly. And what? Then he grow. He really is. I'm 5'8". Today, one brother, you, right? Told me you are 6 or who's the brother? You take the head out, huh? So you look so handsome now. Anyway, I mean that was charming with a head like that. It's not so biblical, but charming. Now it's very biblical. But anyway, what is your height? Huh? 6. Huh? 6'2". I'm 5'8". My guess, he must eat some. Because if he stands with us, he's one head taller. Do you get my point or not? And above his shoulder, not including the neck actually, his shoulder is to my head. You can see how tall that is. Wherever he gate he walks through, he has to go like this, otherwise it's going to hit his head. So people can see him way away. I saw him, he walked there. You know, there are hundreds of people walk. He walk in the middle. Everybody see that head. So tall. Oh, I tell you, no matter God choose him, I'll choose him too. Right? He was a choice child. In other words, he must be very bright and very well educated, know how to behave. And he was goodly. And his shoulder, from his shoulder and upward, being taller than all the people, including Rex. You're pretty tall. Who is tallest here? Are you 6'2", the tallest? Jeff, how tall are you? But you are one of the, all the people. But he says all the people, that including Jeff, right? He's taller. One, it's not one head taller. It's a shoulder up, right? From his shoulders and upward. In other words, his shoulder is as tall as the tallest one. How tall is that? It's actually kind of scary, right? But anyway, upward, taller than all the people. This is his status. Then what? He was anointed. He was really a nice man. Number one, huh? Then Samuel took a vial, the way you pronounce it, right? Vial of oil and poured upon his head and said something like, "The Lord has anointed thee." Then right after this, maybe we still read it, huh? Chapter 10, verse 1. Can you turn to chapter 10? Are you okay? Amen. I didn't see a lot of amens. That's why I was wondering whether you're sleeping or listening. If once in a while you say an amen, even when you sleep, when you wake up, make sure you say amen. You're waking up. Then Samuel took the vial of oil, chapter 10, 1 Samuel 10, verse 1, and poured upon his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? Really something. I like the way. You know, when he anointed David, he didn't say much. When he anointed Saul, even Samuel was so attracted by him. Samuel, he really liked him. So he said, is it not because the Lord has anointed thee to be captain over what? Not over the nation, over his inheritance. Now, Israelites are God's inheritance. And now who are you? You are the captain over God's inheritance. Right? When thou art depart from me today, verse 2, then thou shalt find two men, just forget about it. Let's see. Let's maybe just go from here. Huh? God then in chapter, let me see. Yeah, let's verse 9 first. And it was so. And when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, in other words, he departed from Samuel, God gave him another heart. See how much God loved him too. God gave him another heart. And all these signs came to pass that day. In other words, firstly, he heard the anointing, right? The anointing is this. You are the captain over God's inheritance. Right after that, there's a confirmation. Confirmation is that he get a new heart right after he turned from Samuel. In other words, he become totally a different person. Then thirdly, that is verse 6. Now when he came out, he meet different people. Then, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee. And thou shalt prophesy with them and shall be turned into another man. Not only his heart changed, also the Spirit come upon him, rushed to him. And more than that, he began to prophesy with many prophets together, become a prophet. And more than that, he become another man. Don't look down the anointing. You know, you don't like Saul. That's okay. But you must love being anointed by the Lord. You know why you are so indifferent? Because you have never be really anointed. If you can drop, which I don't despise, so if you can drop your good, close your eyes. Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord Jesus, I love you. Brother, if you can tell the Lord, Lord, let's make a deal. You better anoint me to a point that I will become another man.
Amen.
Oh, how good that is. I go back, even the elders feel different.
Amen.
I enjoyed so much. Take in so much. I receive so much. And I know so much. But Lord, everything I know is from my old man. I need to become another man.
Amen.
I need to have a new heart.
Amen.
By what? By filled in spirit.
Amen.
Today, the anointing is operating just like that day. That day, the anointing was poured on his head to make him the king. Today, the anointing operating our spirit. When the anointing come into our spirit, operating our spirit, saturate himself into our spirit, let me tell you, brothers, we will become a different person.
Amen.
We will become another man.
Amen.
You know what the church need? The church need another man.
Amen.
We have so many of us grow up. Actually, brother, when I say this, I have a lot of sympathy. Oh, grow up in the church life. To what extent? To the extent everything you know. We come into the meeting, right? What do we do first? You see. You know, right? Who leads? Jose. You see, you know, right? Then what do we do? And then what? Read the outline. Then what? Titus get up. The old man try to be young. Then what? Let's pray, close the meeting. I'm coming tomorrow. Don't be late. 5 minutes before, sit at your seats and exercise. Then you come in. Oh, Lord, I love you. Oh, Lord, I love you. I don't despise. You should love the Lord. It's precious for you to close your eyes to sing a song, Lord, I love you. It is precious. But brother, could you have some vitality?
Amen.
Do you get my point or not?
Amen.
Could you have some vitality? Do you understand what I mean, vitality? Tomorrow morning when you come in, don't wait for Jose to call a song.
Amen.
Even don't call a song.
Amen.
Sing a song.
Amen.
Do you know a song? Do any song you can memorize? Don't say, oh Lord, I love you. Don't, not that one. Have something new. We are for God's economy.
Amen.
We are for God's testimony.
Amen.
We are with one with God's operation.
Amen.
We stand firm with what God is doing.
Amen.
Operating. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, I tell you, brother, how good the young people will be.
Amen.
Even you can be here 3 days, you can go home totally satisfied.
Amen.
Do you get my point? Look at how old we are. We come in. I forgot. What time we meet together in the morning? 10:30. My meeting. 10:30. It's 10:25. According to Rex, you must come. 10:25. You sit there. Oh Lord, I love you. Oh Lord, I love you. Lord Jesus, I love you. Amen. Brother, don't think I'm joking. You wonder, is this a funeral or something? What's going on? I mean, everybody loves the Lord. You see that. You dare not despise it. I dare not. I was sitting there, I see so many sins away. I dare not despise it. But I just had the feeling, oh Lord, how about a new heart?
Amen.
How about become a new person?
Amen.
How about tell the Lord, Lord, I'm walking in tomorrow. I will be different.
Amen.
I want to be filled in spirit.
Amen.
I want the spirit saturate me.
Amen.
I'm different.
Amen.
No need to keep any form. There's nothing wrong. Tell Titus, we don't need you this morning. We want to enjoy the Lord. Praise through the meeting, whole meeting. We want to enjoy the Lord. We want to be burdened, pray for something. Brother, no one should know how the meeting meets, right? Yet, of course, this is training. There is a little planning. But yet, how about all the church meetings? Everyone's so dead. Nothing new. One brother invited an older brother, Brother Lee, to his home to eat. By chance, I was invited too. That whole meeting, whole dinner is a mystery. Because that brother sat down. He's a German, sober. Pray. He said, Brother Lee, eat this. This is good for you. Brother Chu, at that time, my name is not Titus yet. Brother Chu, eat this. This is good for you. Then brother would answer, something new, something new. I said, well, there's only one dish, two dishes here. It's American food, right? What do you mean something new? You want them to cook more? Do you get my point? Then the brother slice something. This is good for you. And Brother Lee, something new, something new. Later I realized, brother, understand. Brother Lee saw that in 2005, we will all be as old as that old brother. And Brother Lee was remind us something new. Look how old we are. You know what marks both David and Saul, the being anointed? What marks that? They have a new heart. Amen. They become a new person. Amen. The Spirit rests to them and they speak differently. Their whole operation is no longer confined by any kind of forms. I come to the meeting, I'm free.
Amen.
It doesn't mean you're free, you occupy sister's seats. But I'm free in my spirit.
Amen.
I can sing a song. I can declare a verse. I can give a testimony. I can shout to the Lord. I can take the lead in prayer. I can exercise in the way. Brothers, let us all be free before the Lord and become new.
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Amen.
And this is what we need today.
Amen.
I don't have any burden for. It's good enough. Can we pray now?
Amen.
Can we tell the Lord?
Amen.
Lord, we want something new. We want to be a new person.
Amen.
We want to have a new heart.
Amen.
Anoint us.
Amen.
May your spirit saturate us.
Amen.
So we can be persons in spirit.
Amen.
Walking according to your economy.
Amen.
How about let's pray. Amen.
Amen.